Air Force veteran Clint Jordan is a top-producing real estate agent and founder of Mill Estate Network, which is comprised of real estate agents that are veterans and military spouses. Coming up next on Veteran on the Move.
Welcome to Veteran on the Move. If you're a veteran in transition, an entrepreneur wannabe, or someone still stuck in that J-O-B trying to escape, this podcast is dedicated to your success. And now, your host, Joe Crane.
With Navy Federal, you could borrow up to 100% of your home's equity with a fixed-rate home equity loan with zero closing costs, or easily borrow as you go with a home equity line of credit. To learn more, visit NavyFederal.org. Talking with Air Force veteran Clint Jordan, founder of Mill Estate Network. Clint, thanks for being here today, doing some great things out there in the entrepreneurship, veteran world. Before we get to talking about all that, take us back and tell us what you did in the Air Force.
Yeah, for sure, man. Thanks for having me, and thanks for doing what you do as well. So I did 21 years and 10 months in the Air Force as a fireman. First 11 years was all overseas, so I got to tour a bit and play some softball and do some cool things. And then my first stateside assignment was in California at about, I think, year 12-ish. So.
Oh, okay.
Got a lot of PCSs, a lot of deployments.
Yeah, no kidding. Sounds like it. When you retired from the Air Force, was that pre-planned? Did you know it was coming way in advance, or did it kind of come as a surprise to you?
Yeah, that's a wonderful question. No, what I had thought in my head, you know, and all the way through my career was I was just going to do 30 years, retire some command chief, make a huge difference in the Air Force and in the world.
Yeah.
I was deployed as the fire chief in the country of Jordan. I woke up one morning and said, congrats, you got orders to Guam. And I'm like, that's tough. My daughter was 13 at the time. Me and the ex-wife were going through a divorce, and my son was like 17, and Guam is it's unaccompanied for 3 years. So,
oh, wow.
And it was my very first assignment, right? So I knew what Airman Jordan did in Guam, and I was like, I don't want to go be the fire chief. And then without my kids. So I literally went, my entire career was like, hey, I'm going to do third, you know, yeah. I'm going to be as big as I can in the enlisted side of the world and make as big an impact as possible. And that morning literally changed everything. I had no plans, no. But I had retirement on the, it was literally that morning, called my daughter that evening, told her, hey, Punkin, I'm retiring. You know, she's crying, I'm crying. And she's like, Daddy, you have your wings now, you get to fly. And I didn't know the impact of what that actually, when she said that, but I remember.
Wow, yeah, the 13-year-old, huh?
13 years old, man. She's like, Dad, you got your wings now. I think she said you're a crow, but in my head, I thought it was eagle, but she's like, hey, you have your wings, you can fly. And I had the command fire chief call me the next morning. He's like, Jordan, what happened?
Right.
I said, Chief, I can't take those orders, man. He's like, I can fix it. I said, Chief, you can't fix it. He's like, Jordan, I'm the command chief of the fire. I can fix everything. I'm like, no, sir. I told my daughter last night. So
yeah. They were going to send you 3 years unaccompanied to Guam?
So Guam, yeah, you can bring, but at that point I wasn't going to. My kid, like I said, my daughter was 13. My son was a junior. So you can bring family. But at the time, me and the wife were.
Yeah.
It was just a total wrong time to try and ask anything.
Right. Wow.
Of the kid.
Well, so. You know, life happens, you know? So, all right. So quickly, boom, you're retiring out of nowhere. So you do join the Paycheck of the Month Club, but still, as we all know, that Paycheck of the Month still isn't typically enough to keep things afloat with all the expenses, especially with a couple of kids and everything else. So,
right.
What started happening with you as far as the transition plans and what ended up resulting from that?
Yeah. So when I hit that retirement, then, like you said, your mind kind of starts spinning a little bit because there was nothing. You just bleed blue or green or whatever, you know, service you're in. And all of a sudden you're coming back and no job. That was like November. We were due back in January and I out-processed in TAPS in February. I was literally sitting in TAPS, you know, you're wearing a tie and they're like, wear your business attire. I'm like, I don't know what that is, man. My business attire was a uniform for 20 some years.
Yeah.
So I'm sitting in class and I'm just on the computer and everybody's talking resumes and the civilian word. I'm like, man, I don't want any part. Like, I didn't want any. I didn't know what any of that stuff was. So I'm just online. I'm like, hey, man, I'm in TAPS. I'm getting out. And I had an old fire chief reach out and say, hey, we have it was a fire. They did supplies and stuff, but I would have been like an inside sales guy for them. So I'm like, yeah, man, I'll do that. I had another buddy reach out and said, hey, dude, we had played Air Force softball together. He owned his own real estate brokerage in town. So he's like, Clint, go get your license, dude. You'd be great at it. And then my right after we retired, the girlfriend was like, hey, there's this gym going out of business up the road, a CrossFit gym. You want to open a CrossFit gym? This is literally within 30 days after retiring. Like I retired and I was an inside sales rep for the fire stuff. I got my real estate license and we bought out a gym and we opened up our own.
Okay. So many people who, if you were talking to them and said you were a fireman in the Air Force for 20 years, they would say, why didn't you go be a fireman when you got out?
Yeah, that's a great question. One, I think we're a little bit broke, like a little bit more broke than we were when we went in.
Yeah.
And then number two, I didn't want to deal with the, I mean, and truth be told, like I told myself that too, when I retire, I just want to retire. Like, I don't want to put back on a civilian uniform and then deal with the same deployments, the same, you do all the same stuff. You're writing the same EPRs. You're just in a different uniform, making a bigger check, but you're still heavily attached to every deployment. So I was like, hey, I'm going to separate. I'm going to get out and do my own thing and then see how I can just continue to serve in a different capacity.
Awesome.
Easy transition, right? You could easily get out as the deputy chief and go back into a GS-12 job and coast for the next 30 years. But when my daughter said that about the wings and stuff, I'm like, that hit me. I felt that. Yeah. And I'm like, I can go do whatever Clint wants to do. And it's on Clint to succeed or fail. And so I didn't want to go back into a 9-to-5 or whatever that 8-to-whatever, job was in another suit, listening to other people tell me what to do all day.
Yeah. So you ended up buying the CrossFit gym.
Yeah, we bought, one was going out of business in town. They wanted 20 grand for it. I called a buddy who does business stuff. I'm like, hey man, can you come over and suit and tie and talk to these dudes? So we went in, he kind of depreciated everything. We ended up getting it for like $4,000. We got all of their equipment.
Nice.
Zero business skills on the other people's side of the house.
Yeah.
Like we just appreciated stuff and we ended up with an entire gym. We put it in storage for 2 months, found a place to lease and open our own gym, built it. Me and the wife literally built this thing out for 2 months, just a lot of sweat equity. And 7 years later, we still have CrossFit Bunny and Clyde. We own our own building. We bought it right after COVID and expanding that thing now. But yeah.
Wow. That's awesome. All right, we'll hold that thought, take a quick break, we'll be right back. Becoming a member of Navy Federal Credit Union can help you earn more and save more. Their certificate options could earn you more than standard savings accounts with competitive rates. Not all financial institutions offer you as many choices for savings options as Navy Federal does. For example, you could start your savings journey with a low minimum deposit, add money at any time, and watch your savings grow. Thanks to flexible terms, you can use Navy Federal savings options for all kinds of goals, short or long term. Considering a big home improvement project? Maybe you want to consolidate debt? You could borrow up to 100% of your home's equity with a fixed rate home equity loan with zero closing costs, or easily borrow as you go with a home equity line of credit. Both options could help make life's big expenses seem more manageable. To learn more, visit NavyFederal.org. At Navy Federal, our members are the mission. Navy Federal is insured by NCUA, Equal Housing Lender. Membership required. Terms and conditions apply. Loans subject to approval. I recently gave a friend of ours mom MD hearing aids to try out, and we saw Wanda over the holidays, and she went out of her way to tell us how much she enjoys them. And other members of the family told us how much they love them too, if you know what I mean. This podcast is sponsored by MD Hearing. MD Hearing is an FDA-registered rechargeable hearing aid that costs a fraction of what typical hearing aids cost. MD Hearing's Neo model costs over 90% less than clinic hearing aids. And the Neo is MD Hearing's smallest hearing aid ever. It fits inside your ear, and no one will even know it's there. MD Hearing recently cut their price in half. That means you can get a high-quality rechargeable digital hearing aid for only $297 a pair. I'm a fan of MD Hearing because they've given them to two people now. Both Jeff and Wanda love the product. MD Hearing is just as good as premium-quality hearing aids. $297 for a pair of hearing aids. This good is crazy. I can't believe what some hearing aids actually cost. Edward S. calls MD Hearing the best hearing aid I've ever used at any price. Get the hearing aid you deserve with MD Hearing. Go to shopmdhearing.com and use promo code VETERAN to get their new $297 when you buy a pair offer. Plus, they're adding a free extra charging case, which is $100 value, just for listeners of Veteran on the Move. That's mdhearing.com and use our promo code VETERAN and get their new $297 when you buy a pair offer. All right, back talking with Air Force veteran Clint Jordan, founder of Middle State Network. So, Clint, you're out of the Air Force within 30 days. You're buying a CrossFit gym, goes out of business. Then you start pouring yourself into that. You did get your real estate license. So you got the CrossFit gym, you're starting to do things in real estate. Take us from there.
Yeah. So I said immediately on retirement, man, we just kind of went full speed, and the gym was a transition and a really cool one because it kept me close to our military, and we're probably 70-80%, well, probably closer to 85% military at the gym. So I never really left that sphere, right? We're always like, one of our biggest fears about getting out is that we lose that attachment. So I never lost it. Yeah. Well, that first year was, I think I did one.
And where was this at?
Here in Colorado Springs.
Okay, great. Cool.
Yeah. So I think I did one, maybe one to two transactions in real estate that first year. Starting a business, especially like a gym or something, man, it's everything. So you can't go 50% here and 50% here. So I just poured 100% into the gym. Like I said, I got one passive deal from a friend or something. Gym 17 hours a day and work and work and work. And we've gotten to the green, I think, in the first 9 to 10 months, and hired on a coach. And then that's when I really started transitioning into real estate.
You hired a business coach?
No, sorry, like a coach for the gym so I could break away from there.
Okay, cool.
So like now I think we have 7 coaches at the gym now. Like I don't do much as far as coaching goes there. But once I was able to bring the coach in, like a physical coach, then
yeah,
broke away and started doing real estate.
So over time, where'd you come up with the idea for the Mill Estate Network?
Yeah, that's, there's not a lot of groups that are like truly 100% veterans and military spouses out there to help.
Yeah.
Veterans and military spouses. I do a lot of outbound real estate business here in the Springs just because we're so heavy in military, right? We got like 5 bases and 100,000 veterans. So I was finding myself on Facebook a lot, just trusting that, you know, the person on the other end was a veteran or knew the processes. And then I was getting a lot of calls back saying, hey, that wasn't exactly the case. So I just decided it's easier just to start a network where I literally vet and interview every single agent that comes in it. We're about 127 agents nationwide, currently all different brokerages, but you know, the premise is just, it's veterans, us helping veterans, us help veteran, the clients, right? If I can just keep building that, yeah, stay true to that. And then we ultimately just continue to help our military, whether it be on the realtor side of things, help them grow, help them do more business, or, you know, on the active duty or veteran side of the house, as far as getting into real estate, educating. And
yeah. So you said that, like, you actually would refer somebody to a real estate agent and you thought they were military or military related in some way. As it turns out, they really weren't.
Yeah. So like my absolute, one of my all time Air Force best friends, him and I were, we E1 together. We played softball for years, and him and his wife, they were in Virginia and called and said, hey man, can you help us sell our house? And I'm like, yeah, let me find you a realtor. Cause that's what we do. We're like, yeah, let me help you. We jump on Facebook real quick, go into a Facebook group, and say, hey, I need a good realtor in Virginia for a referral. So the guy, and as I think back to the story, he never really said, I'm a veteran, but he said every key word that would be like, yes, I help military. I know the VA process. So yeah. Short story or long story short, I ended up hooking them up and I hadn't heard anything in like a month or two. So I called my buddy and I'm like, hey, dude, what's going on with the house thing? He's like, bro, didn't want to tell you, but the realtor was garbage, kind of. He wasn't a veteran, doesn't really know anything. And I'm like, geez Louise. And then Facebook, there's a lot of fake tag, like there's a lot of tags that go on to say, hey, yeah, Joe down there is amazing. And then Joe has 42 friends that tag him. So there's an assumption made that Joe is a veteran, Joe is good, and Joe is whatever.
Yeah.
So that happened with the really good friend, man. I'm like, one, you end up losing the deal, which kind of sucks. But if that wasn't a really good friend of mine, like I would have lost him as a friend. Like he would have been like, Clint, I'm never coming to you again.
Right.
So that happened a few times. It happens all day now. I just don't pay too much attention to it. But that was one of the main reasons for starting it. Was that way I could honestly tell you, if you call me, you're like, hey, Clint, I got a buddy that's moving to Hawaii. Do you have an agent? I'm like, yeah, absolutely. It's Alexi. She's a mill spouse. She's attached to it. Now I can confidently say who our people are, where they are. And I've talked to them personally.
Right. Yeah. You ever heard of ID.me, like ID.me?
I have.
Yeah. That's a Army guy. I can't think of his name. Had it on the podcast a long time ago, but he started ID.me for a similar reason. He knew that like Home Depot or Lowe's, when you're giving 10% to veterans, whatever. We had a lot of people claiming they were veterans to get the discount. So how do these stores vet people that they're legitimately a veteran? And that's where he came up with the idea for ID.me.
You had that guy on your podcast?
Yeah. Yeah, like, that's cool. Like years ago, like probably 7-8 years ago. It's crazy. But back when it was really new. And I've been around on website and stuff, and I've seen his product, like, oh, ID.me. They're using ID.me to verify. So
yeah, it's huge.
ID.me actually, all that stuff, all of your military DOD data goes back to a place called DMDC in Monterey, California, Defense Management Data Center, I believe is. And all your veteran stuff all ultimately links up with everything in Monterey. They're the ultimate data holder of everything. And his ID.me will actually can tap into DMDC. So if you can get on there, and I don't know what questions they ask you, like, of course, social security number and various
right.
data points related to your military service, your EAS or your date of entry or various, whatever questions they ask you, it can hit that DMDC database and verify you are who you're saying you are. And then they, okay, yeah, you're definitely a veteran. So that's how that thing works. Yeah. So if you're ever so inclined, I don't know how much it costs or whatever, but with you can tell, you know, if you sit down with somebody on a Zoom call or something, you can tell if they're in the military network.
Oh yeah. With, and then quick. You can tell too, what like their intentions are, right? Like, I can tell in a couple seconds if Joe's a good dude, if he's, I'm like, what's in it for me? I'm like, nothing, dude. Like, it's what's in it for everybody else is what's most important.
Right. So what are some of the things you've done in real estate over the years? Mostly just real estate sales. And then you stood up the Millistate Network. Talk a little bit about business aspects of that.
Yeah. So we do it. For the last, I think, 3 years, we're in the top 10% of realtors here in the spring. So we do quite a bit of business. I think it was over 50. And last year was a slow year, but we did 50 plus transactions and 22, 23 million in volume. So we do a bit of work here. So a lot of our stuff is outbound. We market a lot and people in town kind of know who I am. So we market a lot of the outbound stuff, which is, again, why I kind of built Millistate. But yeah. Top 10% here. We, like I said, we have 135 people in the group. That is, and it's primarily a referral network, ultimately, where people trust and know each other. So we send the referrals into that network.
And your network of real estate agents, is that's spread across the U.S. or all over the place?
Yeah. So that's nationwide in Hawaii and whatever. But yeah, the idea and the intent behind that is just to end up putting a veteran, mill spouse, or somebody in every single market that knows the VA process, has walked in the shoes, understands what the veteran's going through, whether there's a base there or not. Like Lansing, Michigan, for example, if I want, you know, we want somebody there. So if Joe calls and says, hey, who do we have in Lansing, Michigan? Like, I want a good agent there. So ultimately the goal of the network is just to have somebody in every market.
Yeah. And you know, helping, there's a lot of people that say they understand the VA process, but it's like, I've had night. Oh yeah. The mortgage company. Oh yeah. I use the real estate agent's mortgage company. Oh yeah. We do VA. And like, and then the games begin like a day or two before closing. You're like, you haven't done what? What you need a form that says what? Like, it's,
yeah. Somebody calls back and says, yeah. Hey, did you get the water test done on the well? I'm like, no, you guys never told us we needed that. Well, we do.
Yeah.
Of course it's a VA loan. You know? Yeah. Yeah, so it
doesn't even have a well.
Yeah.
Oh, we still need it though. Yeah, I know. It's like,
and then there's other orgs, you know, not to, but like veterans, you know, there's other places that there's an assumption as well that they're veterans, based off names, based off marketing, based off, and so you're constantly fighting that battle too. Or you're like, hey, I have a lender. I'm like, awesome, Joe. Who is it? You tell me, and now I'm fighting because you know who they are through marketing, right? They just mass market. I'm like, hey, buddy, like they're not it, man. Let me attach it to this dude who is a VA. And
yeah,
so it's hard in that aspect too, because now I got to convince you of something that you've been told and taught for, I was a USAA for 25 years before I really understood that there's other things out there besides USAA for insurance. You know what I mean? Cause we're just pumped in. That's all I knew in the Air Force.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I love USAA. I had them forever, but when we moved to Florida, things got really expensive. So we had to take.
Yeah. And I'm not dogging USAA. I used them up until we bought the gym. Because their rates were, I mean, I love them for that too. Mortgage side of things, stick to insurance. We use them for insurance for everything as well up until 5 years ago, I think, when we started buying other properties and it just became a little bit too big for kind of the umbrella.
Well, and USAA gets really, they get really picky about like Like they wouldn't insure. We have a condo on the beach in Florida and they wouldn't even insure it. Like, what do you mean?
That's what they did to one. Yeah. One of my mountain cabins. Cause they said it was in the fire zone. I'm like, it's the mountains.
Yeah. It's Colorado.
It's Colorado, dude. Like everything's in a fire.
Yeah. So, they started getting really picky with some things. So I kind of forced me to start looking elsewhere. And then coming to Florida, things got really expensive. So it's like the only thing that's more expensive in Florida is insurance.
We're looking to buy out there right now too. I want to get on the beach somewhere.
Yeah. We love it down here, but, the biggest thing is insurance is more, and that's pretty much it. So everything else.
Yeah. Cause I mean, you guys get wiped out. I mean, historically,
every couple of years.
Florida's had some issues, so I can see that.
Yeah, the whole hurricane thing, you know, it happens.
Yeah, it comes around there.
You're right in the hurricane zone, so.
Right.
Do you do any real estate investing of your own?
We do. So, I said we bought the commercial building. We own a couple short-term rentals, a long-term rental. So, yeah, we do. We get into the investing side of things about 5 years ago. Are you familiar with a group called Active Duty Passive Income? Have you heard of that?
No. I like the name though. It's a cool name. Active Duty Passive Income.
So they were, I think before they were more of like a referral, but now it's a very educational platform on just passive income on investing. And so I'm our host here or mentor here in Colorado Springs, but another very large group that's just really for active duty and military veteran people to learn about investing and passive income and the different avenues.
Yeah. And so when you were active duty though, you were all in 100%, never really looking outside, weren't doing any side hustles or anything, right?
Nothing. No, like I said, I had chief in my sights in 30 years and yeah, nothing. I didn't own a home. Well, I bought one in California at my last duty assignment. And then the market tanked and I sold it like I probably shouldn't have. But yeah, I really didn't know. There's no side hustle, no nothing. It was 100% military, right? I'm all into what I'm doing. So it didn't make sense to have a side hustle because I knew, again, I couldn't give 100% to the fire department, the Air Force, if I got some other side gigs.
Yeah, sure. I mean, that's the thing. It's like not everybody, depending on what your job or MOS is when you're on active duty, sometimes you can't really have a side hustle. And there's some legalities involved too, depending on what the side hustle is.
They're totally prevented from having side hustles. And people don't understand that either. Like our E1s and twos, and there's levels to it. But as a brand new airman or private or whatever, like you can't really get a side hustle then either. Your supervisors are all over you. You're just learning stuff. So there's no real side hustles, right? And then you make E5 or something, and you're all of a sudden supervising somebody. Can't really side hustle at that point. Or else you're not going to be a super good supervisor, right? And then they pull who you're supervising, and then your EPRs or OP, whatever, gets a little bit lower. And then as you make rank, I can't, as a deputy fire chief or fire chief, get a side hustle.
Yeah. Any kind of a leadership position, it's really tough to have a side hustle because the people that you're working, that are working for you, find out about your side hustle, depending on what it is. It's like, it's going to be uncomfortable. You're not 100% there, right?
Correct.
Yeah.
And nobody really taught me about real estate. Like I could easily, I wish I would have known because I could have bought a house in every place we went. You know what I mean? And then you retire after 20 years, and especially if you did a lot of stateside. If you're overseas forever, it'd be a little bit more difficult. But if you're stateside and you PCS 5, 6, 7 times, you literally own 5, 6, 7 houses.
Yep.
That's, you get to 10, like you're passively almost taken care of. Like,
right.
Just a lot of passive income. So, but nobody ever taught us that stuff.
Collect a house every PCS. Yeah.
Yeah. Doable.
At one point I had about 5 houses, some of them through PCSs, and where I was living, I ended up buying another one or two also. So one PCS, and I ended up with 2 or 3. And, but the problem is I typically didn't buy them I bought them to live in. So I wasn't really trying to get an extremely good deal on them. Just buy it and hold it for 3-4 years while we're there and then sell. And when it didn't sell and tried to rent, it's almost like negative income every month.
If you don't buy smartly, again, it's totally the education side of the house, right? Which ultimately is what got me into real estate was like, we could do better. Like 13% of our veterans use their VA loan.
Yeah.
We talked to the other 73%. Yeah. 13%, dude.
Really? Wow.
And they just don't. Yeah. If you talk to, it's always like, I don't know. I don't know what it is.
The new VA loan's even better than it was years ago. The new one is phenomenal. They improved it dramatically. So
yeah,
it's crazy. Wow. Have you ever heard of house hacking?
Yeah. So I can talk about house hacking all day. Yeah.
Yeah. Cause I'm like, this is the one, like the one house you buy a house with your VA loan. Cause you just PCS there, especially if you're young and single. And then you get roommates to fill in the bedrooms and pay for your mortgage. You know, it's house hacking.
Yeah. 100%. Buy some of the basement, right? With a walkout basement.
Yeah. But I didn't know this with the VA loan. You can buy up to a 4-unit place. So you could buy a fourplex. Like if you found a place that worked for you, buy a fourplex. You and your family could live in one of them, and the other three you rent out, and pretty much
100%. And then they count the rent as income to qualify you for a bigger loan.
Yeah.
Then after a year, you could redo that. You could
sell that one and go get another one.
Yep.
Wow.
Yeah, and then you put your VA loan and this will rent out. Your situation changed. Like there's some stuff to that VA loan process. But yeah, and anybody can do it. Like our E5 can, again, they qualify off of the rent on this stuff. So the VA loan says, all right, cool. What's the rent for these 3 units plus yours?
Yeah.
That's income that's added to your income. So now you have a fourplex. And like you said, now you got 3 people paying your mortgage for you. You're making a bit of money.
So even before you buy the place, the potential rent that you're going to get will count towards qualifying for the loan.
Correct.
Cause that's different. Like usually anytime you'd only get 75% credit and it had to be on your tax return, which means it had to have happened last year to even be potentially.
Yeah. And there's other loans out there too. There's like DSCR loans. There's a bunch of different loans for it, but yeah, it's literally, if I go to buy a fourplex or twoplex or three, whatever, then that rent is qualifying income.
Yeah. That's all. I didn't realize you could get that up front like that. That's
yeah.
That's another great house hack.
Yeah. One of my buddies that, his name is Kirby Atwell. He's a Army dude, West Point grad, but he does a living off rentals is kind of his thing. And I took his course, if you will, 4 or 5 years ago. It just opened your mind to like the house hacking thing. That dude literally, I think he lives in Kentucky or something, but he built a couple different little units on his land. And then he did like a farm thing. So if you rent out one of those places to Airbnb it, like you can make your own dinner, you could, you know, do your own lettuce. Well, then people wanted his house. So Kirby's like, yeah, cool. So he just jacked the price way up to where if somebody wants it, they go on vacation. Like Kirby literally takes his family, goes to his parents' house, or they go to, and so he rents out his entire house. It's just house hacking that. And then, you know, these other properties on his land. It's a crazy way to make some money.
Yeah. There was a Kirby Atwell, the name sounds familiar. There was a guy who started a whole business based off of military families. They're moving overseas, for example, but they own a house outside of, you know, Fort Gordon or Fort whatever, this base, that base. They want to keep the house and they don't want to have to put all the stuff in storage. So they essentially rent out the house with all their stuff in it. You know, they take
it green homes or something like that? Because
I can't remember.
When he got out of the military, I know he started another, it was all military stuff, but it was like green homes or
it could
something along that line.
It could be. But the thing was, it was like, I'm like, so they just leave all their furniture and everything. You're like, well, you know, if it's something valuable that you can't take, you know, as, yeah, they, or like there's a lot of people that you have to live outside of Fort Benning for 6 months before you can get base housing. So they live in this house for 6 months and rented it at top rate.
Right.
And it's fully furnished. So they just move in and then 6 months later they get base housing, they move out and then they rent somebody else. And so the people who left and went overseas for 3 years, they still have their house with all their stuff in it essentially. And it's just rolling through other military. They only rent and lease to military families and like, well, your stuff's a lot less likely to get messed up by people just living there and using it versus packing it up in a moving van and moving it 3 or 4 times and putting it in storage and then pulling it out, you know, 3 years later. So
yeah, correct. And well. Then you almost go into that knowing that when you come back in 3 years, you're just replacing everything anyways.
Yeah.
Right. It's literally the case, you know, hey, I'm coming back. I'm going to have to repaint, recarpet. And then the furniture that we left, most likely couches, beds, like those main things are going to need to be replaced.
Yeah. Just normal wear.
But if you're doing it every 6 weeks, like you said, you're making money anyway. So it's, right. It's just another form of house hacking. It was probably Kirby that, cause I'm trying to remember the name of his company that he first started. It's living off rentals is what he does now. And it's literally just educating on different ways to house hack, to strategies as far as Airbnb and short-term rental buying. And yeah. Like I said, you go into it instead of just thinking I'm gonna buy it to live in, you know, I'm gonna buy it to make some money off of it.
Right. So, Well, Clint, if somebody wants to find out more about the Middle State Network, how would they get a hold of you?
Yeah, I literally have my phone on me all the time. So the phone number is 530-844-2559 and or the website. Website's pretty solid too. It's just www.mill-estate.com. My number's on there. All of our agents are on there too. So if you're just looking for, the cool thing about Mill Estate too is all of our people have been, like, we've all walked the walk. We've all been there. So we're there for a whole lot more than just buying and selling real estate. Of your PCS into Utah or wherever, you can go on there and find that agent and then reach out and say, hey, I saw you on the Mill Estate site. Like, we're PCSing in, but, you know, we need a barber. We need whatever that is. Like, those guys are there for a whole lot more than just buying and selling. So
yeah.
Website's cool. It's got everybody on there. It's got all of our agents, their numbers. So contact for whatever you need.
Awesome. Well, if you're talking to somebody on their way out or just recently got out and they're looking, you know, instead of doing the corporate America thing, want to run their own business, run their own show, what kind of advice comes to mind?
Well, be ready, right? I think one of the things about, like, I think the biggest thing I realized when I got out of the military was, like, how much time off we really had in the military. Like, how many 40 weekends we had, like the holidays, the breaks.
Yep.
Being an entrepreneur isn't, like, you don't get those things. Like, it's you. Right. Literally, you're sink or swim. It's on you. There's nobody giving you holidays and breaks. But I would say reach out to somebody. Reach out to you. Reach out to me. You've got friends that have done it. There's probably here in Colorado Springs, we have Mount Carmel Veteran Services Center. Right. Most, I do a lot of news shows and stuff inside of other people's markets just to tell them about Mill Estate and whatnot. Every single town has something like that, Mount Carmel. Right. They have a veteran center. They've got something, small business development center. I basically got my business degree when I retired in that place. I would just go there every day to take whatever class they had to offer. They're all free. Awesome. Right. So I just sat there all day learning how to be a business dude.
Well, and is it just run by the town?
The small business development center is. Mount Carmel is like a nonprofit organization. So a lot of people fund that, but that Mount Carmel is amazing. It's from, you can be as low as you've ever been to, just need a little bit of clarity through their behavioral health stuff. So that's a nonprofit. And then, like, Small Business Development Center is just a, yeah, it's literally ran by the town. I was there. My wife was like, dude, you should just work there. I was there every day for whatever class they possibly had. Like, they were doing business planning. Like, you could talk to a lawyer for free. It was everything. So I would tell, be ready. It's not the easiest thing in the world to be an entrepreneur. I look back and, you know, but I think, like, I was kind of groomed for it in a sense. Like, my mother always had her own businesses. She always worked for herself. Didn't really think about that going through the military. But when I retired, I did an interview before and someone was like, you know, why, how are you able to do all the things that you're doing? And I'm like, that's a great question. But then I think my mom's been doing it. I watched her build a little fireplace chimney thing in a rental that she owned when I was like seven. I walked in and she's doing that. I'm like, Mom, what are you doing? She's like, oh, building this fireplace. I'm like, what?
So making it happen. Yeah.
Making it. And literally that was it. They owned a restaurant. They owned some cabins. They owned a mechanic shop. So I retired. Like, it wasn't anything new to me to understand that you're going to have to grind. It all falls on your shoulders. Reach out for help. Like, you do not have to go at anything alone. There's plenty of us out there to call and, you know, give you free advice. Just don't go at it alone, reach out and help, and then understand that there's some time that you're going to have to invest in it.
Awesome. All right, Clint, glad to see you're killing it out there for us, having some good success. Appreciate you sharing your entrepreneurial success story, and good luck to you in the future.
No, I appreciate you having me on, man. And again, Joe, thanks for all that you do too.
All right, you bet. I appreciate that. All right, these two veterans are Oscar Mike.
Thank you for listening to Veteran on the Move, your pathfinder to freedom. If you like the show, leave us a review on iTunes. Reviews are always greatly appreciated. So until next time, this veteran is Oscar Mike.